We are going to go back and finish Mark 9, but I really feel constrained to speak on this today. I want to speak to everyone, particularly, but especially to the children. Now, children in the Bible, even the word here in our text in Mark 10 where it says they were bringing children, this same word is used in another place where a family, father or mother, brought a 12-year-old. So it's not just talking about infants or little ones. Really, if you're not an adult, you may be a big child or a smaller child or a little child. So I want to talk to you children today. So I really want you listening to me. I want you to hear, because this is especially for you. I thought about just naming off all your names in a row and saying, Michaela, this is for you. But I didn't want to do that. So I said her name because she's pretty special to us. But it's for all of you. So I'm going to preach to all of us, especially as a church and as parents. But then a lot of this message is directly to your children. So you'll know that I'm talking to you, and you know that I'll have you in mind. All right? So let's read Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16. I want to speak on children coming to Jesus Christ. Or you could call it why children should come to faith in Christ. Children, listen to me. This issue of Jesus Christ is not just for adults. Christ made you. Christ loves you. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it in your mind. And I don't want you just to quickly answer it, but I want you to answer it by thinking about it. If you really believe this or not toward yourself. Here's the question. Do you believe personally, really, that Jesus Christ loves you individually, personally? Now, you may say, you know, I don't really know. I don't feel that especially. Or you may say, I do know. And I do believe that He loves me. Not just everybody else, but me. If you believe that, and you're not yet a Christian, why have you not yourself come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Mark 10, 13 through 16 says this. And they were bringing children to Him. Notice this continual action verb. They were bringing children to Him in order that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. Boy, those were brilliant guys, weren't they? These bodyguards of the Savior, they're protecting His precious time. They, you know, I want to use the word that they really were in this instance, but my wife would get upset at me later. They were imbeciles. They were morons. They were clueless. They didn't even know what they were. They were not at all on the same page as Jesus. These parents are bringing children to Him. The very purpose the Son of God came was to gather those He loved. And the disciples are keeping them away? Seriously? They're not getting it still in many instances. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me finish the passage before I preach. The disciples rebuked them, but when Jesus saw it, He was indignant. Now, this word is unique to this passage. This means this got... He was upset. He was angry. He wanted to get in their face. He was indignant and said to them, so when the disciples rebuked the people, Jesus turns and more strongly rebukes the disciples. Let the children come to me. Allow them to come. Do not hinder them. For to such, to those like this, belong the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them, all those that had been brought, he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Mark's statement there in verse 16 is much stronger and more involved than Matthew or Luke even says it. He took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, the parallel passage really is Matthew chapter 18. Children coming to Jesus. There's a hymn from the 1800s which says this, when mothers of Salem brought children to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled and sweetly smiled and kindly said, let the children come to me. For I will receive them and fold them in my bosom. I'll be a shepherd to those lambs. Oh, drive them not away, for if their hearts to me they give, they shall be with me in glory and live. Let the little children come to me. A lot of hymns we don't know about. The place of children in Jesus' life and in His view is not secondary, but it is often primary. Here the disciples didn't even see children as secondary. They saw them as non-existent in this situation. Unimportant. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, children were not second place, but are very important to Him, and they still are. Children, listen. You are as important to the Lord Jesus Christ as any adult there is. You're as important to Him as your dad or your mom or any famous person. The Bible says so much to us about children, but you know it also says so much to children. Let me just remind you of some verses, kind of doing an overview quickly of some things the Bible says about children and to children. Psalm 127, children are a what? Heritage from the Lord. And a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Philip and Krista didn't think their quiver was full. They raised four and they want four more. They got four more. Quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gates. Genesis 33:5. Listen to what Jacob said. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children coming, and Esau said, who are these with you? And Jacob answered, these are the children God has graciously given your servant. All you parents, listen. These are the children God has graciously given to you, His servant. Nothing more important than that in the whole earth. Paul said to Timothy, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Some of you children, all your life, you have heard Scripture and you've been taught Scripture and you've heard the Bible read and you've listened to it and you've read it in books and your parents have talked to you morning and afternoon and evening about Scripture and about the truth. Listen, you know why they do that? Because what you've heard from a child is able to make you wise unto salvation. Able to bring you to salvation. And don't think because you're in a Christian family that you are a Christian. Some of you are in a wonderful Christian family, but you are not Christians yet. That's why Jesus said, let the children come to me. So, Matthew 21, when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that Christ did, and heard the children shouting Hosanna in the temple, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They ask Him, yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read the Bible? Psalm 8:2 says, from the lips of children and infants have you ordained praise. Matthew 18, He called a little child and had the child stand in their midst. And He said, I tell you the truth, unless, He's speaking to everybody else, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is characteristic of children? Though they are wicked and depraved and lost and have sin in their hearts, children, toward their parents, if they're treated right and have a loving atmosphere, children normally, naturally, are trusting of their mother and father. And they are humble till they become a teenager, normally. And then the world and peers and other influence can cause the pride, the innate pride that's in them, to become far too concerned about things that they shouldn't be. But children, for the most part, as they grow up, they're humble, they're honest, they're trusting. And that's what Jesus is saying. Every person has to become that way if they're even going to get in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Matthew 18:10. See to it that you do not look down upon one of these little ones. For I tell you, this is an amazing statement, the only place it is in the Gospels. I tell you that their angels in heaven always are beholding the face of the Father who's in heaven. What an amazing statement. Did you know what? Each of you children have a particular angel that's your angel. You don't know who that angel is. You don't know his name. You don't see them. But there are angels, and Jesus said, I tell you that their angels in heaven are always beholding the face of my Father in heaven. Amazing things. Deuteronomy 6:7, Moses said concerning the words of the law, these words, you shall impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you talk along the walk along the road, when you lie down, when you rise up again. Ephesians 6:1 says what, children? Children, obey who? Your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That means this was the first commandment God attached a special promise to. And the promise is that it may go well with you. Children who obey their parents from the heart, life goes a lot better for them than children who rebel and resist, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition, the training and instruction of the Lord. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Proverbs 1. Listen, sons, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And then the last one, the last children's survey of the Bible, Mark 9. He took a little child and had him stand in their midst. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome just me, but the one who sent me. The gospel for children is no different than it is for adults. The love of Christ is the same for children as it is for anyone else. The need of children for Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their lives is the same as it is for anyone else. Children need Jesus as much as anyone needs Jesus. There are prisoners in the jail in Denton, just blocks from here right now, whose lives are messed up and wrecked. There are people in prison in Texas and the different prisons, and they need Jesus Christ. But you know what? You children need Christ as much as any of them. You really do. Children are commanded to come to Christ as much as anyone. When Jesus says, "Come unto me, whosoever will," He's talking to everyone, including any child that would have heard Him that day. And He's saying that to you children today. Children must come to Christ on their own. You can't come with dad or mom. You're on your own. You have to come to believe in and pray to the Lord Jesus by yourself. No one can do it for you. Children must come to Christ if they're ever to be in heaven. Children, every child must come to Christ, or you will perish eternally in hell just like everyone else. Would it not be unbelievably sad and scary and horrible if your parents went to heaven and you went to hell? "Let the children come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, you come to this Mark 10 passage, and as we look at it, I want to say something before we do. And that is this. In the 20th century and into this week, the evangelistic manipulation of children is spiritual child abuse. People trying to force children, manipulate their emotions to get them to make a quick, premature decision, and they try to get them to pray their prayer, or they get them to put a check in this box on an evangelistic card, and then they tell them that they're going to heaven. They tell them that they're now a Christian because they checked the box. There's been a lot of evangelistic manipulation, not only of adults, but of children. And this is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And preachers and evangelists will give an account to God on that day for trying to up their numbers and increase their church role by counting children that they forced and produced and pressured into a decision when they didn't even know what they were doing. Evangelistic manipulation of children is wrong. But here, this is what is really true. It says in verse 13, they were bringing children to Him. Bringing the children to Him, verse 13. This is what parents are always to be doing, continually. This is what the church is to be doing with the children that God has entrusted us to. Bringing the children to Him continually. The father and the mother are called upon to train their children in accordance with the teaching of Scripture. From this responsibility, no parent may escape. All will be called upon to account for their stewardship, for their endeavor, for their faithfulness and their heart to ever be bringing their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't bring them to Him physically, can you? And you can't escort them and pray for them and have faith for them, but you can bring them into His presence where He can work, where He can speak. Parents will be asked on the judgment day, not if they brought up open-minded children. That's the thing today. Well, you know, the children just, we need to teach the children to have an open mind and expose them to all the alternative views and then let them decide for themselves. We need to teach our children to be open-minded. You become so open-minded, your brain will leak out. That's not what the Bible says. We're not to teach our children to be open-minded. We're to teach our children that there is a God that they have been made by and that they are accountable to. He sent His Son. This book is the truth. And children must themselves individually come to Christ. Parents will be asked on the judgment day, not even if they sent their children to church or Sunday school, but if they brought their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were bringing them to Him. Now, these children we have been born of natural descent and of human decision. In other words, a man and a wife, you and your wife said, let's get married and let's have children. That's human decision. So they've been born through a husband's will to know his wife. But many of them have not yet been born of God. Children, some of you have been born physically, but you've not been born spiritually. You've not been born from above. You've not been born again. You've not been spiritually made alive. And so all of our children must continually be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? As a church, as parents, how do we do that? We do it by faith. We do it in faith. When we're praying for our lost children on Wednesday nights, week after week, month after month, that's what we're doing. We're bringing them to the Lord Jesus over and over again. We're bringing them to Him. We do it through prayer. We do it through not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but gathering together for public worship. We bring them under the sound of the truth. We bring them into the presence of the gathered church where Christ is present. The need of children to come to Christ is there, so we bring them. The invitation by Jesus, children, come to me. The invitation by Christ is there to you, so we bring them. We bring them to hear truth. We bring them to the throne of grace. We bring them. The responsibility of children to come to Christ is upon you always, so we bring them. Now look at verse 13. Why do we bring them? We bring them not to make little religious actors out of them. We bring them that He might touch them, it says. Children need the working of God's Spirit in their hearts just like adults do. Children need to be drawn. They need to be touched by grace and touched by the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Children need the forgiveness of sins that are in their hearts. Each of you children have sin in your heart right now. You know you've sinned. You know you're not good and righteous. You need forgiveness and cleansing and spiritual sight. You need right standing with God, because outside of Jesus Christ, God is not your Father and He's not your friend. He is your enemy, whether you're an adult or a child. Children need a new heart. They need their sins forgiven. They need to be brought that Christ might touch them. Sanctifying influences now they need, meaning the divine influences of God's presence and the Spirit of God progressively happening in their lives, that He might touch them. We bring them to Him that He might touch them. Lord, do this in them. Lord, draw our children. Lord, work in their souls. Lord, quicken them to life. Lord, convict them of their sin. Open their eyes to see their need of You. They were bringing their children that He might touch them. Notice the end of 13. The disciples rebuked them. And it really is astounding when you think of this. I mean, you've seen before somebody really important, and there are people there who take it on themselves to keep the normals, the nobodies, away from them. Now, he's too busy. Don't bother him. That's what the disciples were doing. This was not sanctioned by Christ. This was their carnal view that Christ, why would they do this? One of two reasons. They thought this was not important to the Lord, or they thought He was too busy for this. He's too busy for the little ones. He needs to talk to the important people. Well, the disciples rebuked. He must have been in a house or gathered where, and here come these parents, a father, a mother, a family, bringing children, and it continued to happen. They were, and then the disciples stopped them, wouldn't let him have access, wouldn't let them have access to him. And the Lord sees it. He realizes it's happening. He goes and he rebukes the disciples for rebuking the parents. I'm sure they were a little embarrassed. They were rebuked. And what the Lord is saying here in this is, children, the Lord Jesus Christ, His time, His attention, His love, His help, His personal concern and care is especially available for you and not just big people, not just adults. The Lord Jesus Christ, His love, His power, His affection, His desire, His time is for children as much as it is for any adults. The disciples' rebuke to keep them away was very wrong. And it made the Lord Jesus Christ angry and indignant. And He stopped them. And He said, verse 14, let the children come to me. They were trying to stop them. They were saying, no, you can't bring them. Jesus said, bring them. Come on, bring them. Let them come to me. Don't hinder them. Verse 14, for such to such belongs the kingdom of God. Childlike coming. Simple, honest trust and dependence. And just coming. Like a child would run to a father or a mother when they know they need them. When they want to. Their heart goes out to the parent and they just come. Children, when your dad or mom, when you're home in your house and you hear one of your parents call you, what do? You come. If you're wise, you come. If you're obedient, you come. Why do you come? You come because the one who loves you, the father or the mother, has summoned you to come. And so you come. You come because you trust them. And you come because you know it's right and good to come. And is it good to wait 10 minutes before you come? No, it's not. When you're called, most of you come quickly. And so, that's what Jesus is pointing out here. That childlike coming is what the kingdom of God is truly like. Verse 14. Now notice verse 15. Jesus then gives this stern warning that if you don't come like a child, you won't even get in. You come like a child or you will eternally perish, Jesus said. Verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, will not enter it. Humble. Trusting. Transparent. Pride doesn't hinder you from just doing what's in your heart. You come just as you are. Come like a child, Jesus says, or you won't even get in at all. You will perish and you'll be outside the kingdom. Now, how are children, or anyone for that matter, how are children to come to Christ? Is it something you do physically? No. Have any of us ever seen with our physical eyes Jesus Christ? No. But some of us, those here who are Christians, have seen Him with our hearts by seeing the truth and believing what's here. And so having not seen Him, we love Him. And we rejoice in Him and we trust in Him. So how is a child to come? You come by faith and trust alone. But it has to be your faith. It has to be you coming. Your father can't believe for you. Your father can't come to Christ for you. Your mother can't do it for you. It is between you, young person, child, children. It's between you and your heart and God. You and your heart and Jesus Christ. You must go to Him on your own. No pride. No arrogance. No self-importance. See, children, they don't have a resume to bring to impress God. They just, all you have is your sin. I came to Christ as a child, as a young man, as a teenager still. And I didn't have anything but sin to bring and myself. And I, all that I knew to pray was, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. All that I have is my sin and myself. Here I am. And Christ saved me. Coming to Him. Notice verse 16. They brought them, obviously, because it says He took them in His arms. He gathered them up one by one. Now, how many could Jesus hold in His arms at one time? Could He have held four or five? Well, probably He didn't. Probably didn't take four or five or six in His arms at once. One by one, they climbed up in His lap. He took them in His arms, and it says He blessed them. What does that mean? We don't know. But He wanted the Father's blessing on each one of them individually, and He laid His hands on them. Was there something magical about that? No, wasn't anything magical about it. But you can be sure divine blessing came on the head and the life of each of those children when He blessed them. When Christ blesses someone, they are blessed. It is Christ. We bring them to Him for His blessing. It's Christ's blessing. It's Him who works in the heart. Children, all of you need the Lord Jesus directly to work in your hearts. Look to Him. Call upon Him. It's Him who makes a person become a Christian. It is Christ who opens our blind eyes and causes us to hear the truth for the first time when we've been deaf to it. Now, those are things that the text says, but now I want to speak directly and exclusively to all the children. So listen close. If you're a child, you might be 3, you might be 4, 5, 15, it matters not. Listen to me. Why should children come to Christ? Here's why. Number one, as a child, you need to come to Christ. You need Him. Because you're lost without Him. Your condition of sinfulness calls you to see your need of Christ. Your sins are unforgiven. Now, you may be living a home where there's godliness and your parents have a great atmosphere and an atmosphere of peace. But you as a child, in your heart, there is sin that's unforgiven. Rebellion, anger, lust, bitterness. For some of you, your sin aren't those things. Your sin is neglecting so far about coming to Jesus Christ. You haven't come to Him. You are living in the sin of unbelief. So your sins need to be forgiven. You do not have a good, pure heart. You have a wicked, impure heart. And you are lost and you are perishing if you're a child. You're lost without Him. Therefore, you need to come to Christ because you will perish forever without Him. Secondly, why as a child should you come to Christ? Not only because you need Him, but because He commands you and calls you to come. You individually. If the Lord Jesus suddenly appeared here in person and we all knew it was Him, well, we would fall on our face for sure. But if He called you by name and He said, come to Me, it would strike fear and reverence and awe in your heart. And I believe you probably would get up quickly and come to Him. Well, through His Word in the Gospel, through the Bible, Jesus Christ calls and summons you to come to Him. He commands you as a child, come to Me. Let the children come to Me, He said. Do your children hear that in your hearts? Have you ever felt the presence of God and the conviction and your mind and your conscience telling you, I need Christ. I need to come to Him. It doesn't do me any good if my dad knows Him or my mom knows Him. I need Him. Has that ever become real in your heart, children? You need to come to Him and you are commanded to come to Him. But thirdly, listen to this. You are welcome to come to Him. Christ doesn't stand far off and say, no, I don't really care if some of them come. No, He says, come. Come to Me. Children, come to Me. Trust Me. Place your dependence and trust totally in Me. Look to Me. Pray to Me. I have a listening ear to children. I will welcome you. If you ask Me to forgive you, I will forgive you. I'll wash you. I'll welcome you. I will make you My son and My daughter. Come to Me. You're welcome to come. I remember, I think it was Friday, Lee and I were together. And it was Friday, I think. The Stanfields went to your home Friday night, see, for dinner, fellowship. I wonder if the Stanfields, as they drove there, I wonder if the thought came, you know, I'm not sure we'll be welcome. What if we ring the doorbell and we're not really welcome? You think they thought that? They went knowing they were welcome, and they walked to the front door with confidence, and they knocked on the door, rang the bell, because they knew they were welcome to come in, right? How much more does the Lord Jesus Christ welcome every child to come? He wants you to come. His arms are open. His heart is open. His love is open. The door is open. Children, why do you delay? Why are you not a Christian already? You are welcome to come to Him. You may feel, I'm only 5 years old. I'm only 7 years old. And you may feel that coming to Jesus is something that only older people do, that it's for students or grown-ups. No, it's not. It's for all. Think about this. What if out at Camp Copus this week, what if a game of kickball or soccer was started and you like to play kickball, you like to kick the ball around, and here you are, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, an 11-year-old, and you see older young people out there, you even see some college students, and they're getting the game up. And you'd like to play, but you just stand over there because you say, you know, it's probably not for me. So you don't run out there. But what if you hear one of the adults say, hey, it's for everybody. You want to play? Come on. You girls want to play? We're all playing. Come on. You would run out there with joy and have fun kicking the ball. Well, you know what? The gospel and heaven and the church of Jesus Christ and being a son or daughter of God, becoming a true Christian, is for everybody. It's for you, children. Come on. Come to Him. Don't stay on the sidelines. Come to Him. All can come on. You're included. The moment you as a child, listen to me, the moment you as a child know you are a sinner, do you know that? And the moment you know you're guilty before God of sin and you need your sins forgiven, then that moment you can come to Him. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get older. You can come. Children, some of you know the gospel. You know that you deserve eternal death because we're sinners. But you know that Jesus Christ came and became one of you. He became a child and He grew up and He became a sacrifice for the sins of the world, including your sins, if you'll come to Him and believe on Him. The moment you know that, you can come to Jesus just as you are, just in your heart, on your own. You don't wait on your brother or your sister or someone else. You don't use your mother or daddy's words, but all by yourself, you go in prayer to Jesus, telling Him your thoughts, telling Him your feelings, telling Him in your own way, from your own heart, that you want to know Him. You want Him to take your sins away. You must think, children, you must think about your own life right now, that you have sinned against God by what you thought and by what you said and by some of the things you've done. We all have sinned in thought, in word, and in deed, in actions. And that includes you. You must think about your life. You may be 3, you may be 5, but you can see, I am a sinner and I need Jesus. And you must pray for yourself. What do you pray? Something like this. Show me myself, Lord, and show me yourself. Let me see what I need to see. And help me to come to you. I want you. I need my sins forgiven. I want to be a true Christian. I want Jesus. I want to know you. You pray like that, children, sincerely. Christ is hearing you. He's hearing you. You will not have to pray it very long if you're sincere. He wants you to come to Him today. That's why He's brought you here today. So, children, the Lord Jesus says, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. He calls you. He invites you. He commands you to come to Him. So, why would you hold back? You don't have to know anymore. You don't have to learn any more Bible verses. You don't have to get older. You don't have to become better. Just as you are, you go to God in prayer and you tell Him, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sins. Save me. Take me. I do trust You. Come with your heart. Come with words, your own words. Believe that He died for you and tell Him that you're trusting Him. There's a marvelous hymn we never sing in here. Let me read it to you. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He's shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Suffer the children. Oh, hear His voice. Let every heart leap forth and rejoice. And let us freely make Him our choice. Do not delay, but come. Think once again, He's with us today. Heed now His blessed commands and obey. Hear now His accents tenderly say, will you, my children, come? Will you come to Christ? Come. Amen. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the call of the gospel to children. We thank You that, Lord Jesus, You died for children who are sinners, as well as for adults who are sinners. And You call us all to come to You without delay, sincerely, just to come. To believe in our mind and our heart, You did, Lord Jesus, die for me. You did take my sin. I believe this is true. I believe this message. And I'm coming to You. Lord, seal Your Word in every heart here today. And we do pray for a real work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of our children. Lord, disturb them and quicken them and draw them and cause them to choose to come to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.